right on page 20, I believe, as we're flowing through this workbook. And as you remember, we spent quite a while speaking about our confidence in prayer. We can have confidence because we have a great high priest. And now we've moved to the theme verse I've been flowing out of there with you in Ephesians 6 and verse 18. I want to read it once again before we begin again. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, I'll read it to you. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We spent our first session last night thinking about that little phrase, in the Spirit. And then the second session yesterday evening, we went into what we're thinking about calling persevering in prayer. And I, in the middle of the illustration, I wanted to stop on time last night, so I'm kind of in the middle of an illustration from Luke chapter 11, as you remember. And the Lord Jesus there was inviting us to be aggressive, persistent, shamelessly audacious in our prayer. He welcomes this persistence, this fervency, this relentless seeking of the Lord in prayer. I'm thinking about a church planter in Cuba that walked up to me after I finished this session. And he said, Brother Ed, I've got you beat. You remember last night I prayed 26 years for my dad before he was converted. And he said, well, I prayed 30 years for my dad before he was converted. And he was not converted until 80 years old. And he had been praying for him for 30 years. He invited him to an evangelistic crusade. He's the church planter, one of 11, under a mother church in Holguín, Cuba. And he invited his dad, and his dad said, yes, I'll come. And in the midst of that evangelistic outreach, he says, my dad was born again at 80 years old. And for the last 4 years, I've had the privilege of discipling my own father. Isn't that wonderful? And he said, by the way, Brother Ed, you were the preacher that night. I didn't do it. I was happy to be there, but did it. Amen? But he calls us to persevere in prayer. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. As long as that person is breathing, they are a potential object of the mercy of God. Notice number 8 there. You're with me as we're in the middle of this illustration. If you are being persistent with a man, he may be displeased with your continued asking. But when we are persistent with God in prayer, He is pleased. He delights in that persistence, that fervency. He says, listen, be bold in your prayer. Be shamelessly relentless. Be eager to pour out your heart and prevail with God by continuing to fervently plead with the Lord. He is never troubled by the numbers of our prayer and the fervency of our prayer. You see there in your workbook, Jesus says at the end of his illustration, he says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. I tell you again tonight, God is inviting us to boldly ask, to passionately seek, to persistently knock at the door of mercy and grace. As Abraham did when he pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah. As Jacob did when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. As the passionate pleading of the Syrophoenician woman. And as the widow in Luke 18 who persisted with that unjust judge. Jesus says, number 9, asking, seeking, and knocking are ascending levels in the ladder of effective prayer. And if a born-again believer is going to experience all three of these levels, it's going to take personal intensity, personal fervency, personal persistence. Let's look just briefly at those words, because I'm about 20 minutes behind for this conference and I've got to catch up somehow tonight. Notice letter A. He says, to ask. What is he saying? Well, this is obvious. To go to God with confidence in Him and ask whatever you desire from the One who is able to give. And we must be daily and continually offering up these types of prayers to the Lord. This is not complicated. As Brother Bill said before, when we were praying before the service, this is simple. This is the elementary form of prayer, presenting our petitions to the Lord in the most simplest terms and manner. Everybody can ask of the Lord. And Jesus says this is good and an acceptable form of prayer. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you, but sometimes He calls us to a second level of praying, a more higher, a more intense form of seeking Him. You see it there, letter B, to seek is picturing a more concentrated urgency and effort in your prayer. Being more fervent with your striving in prayer. We're thinking about pleading more intensely for the things that you desire. It is that persistent, that aggressively continuing to wait on God. This is the level of prayer that pictures the seeking of the Lord like a man would seek a hidden treasure. You're getting more fervent. You're getting more intense. You're not just asking for things, but you're seeking for the Lord Himself to manifest Himself in this situation. Now, I ask you again, does this aggressive intensity turn the Lord away? Does this aggressive intensity irritate the Lord? No, it's absolutely the opposite. I remind you, He delights in this fervent seeking. He delights in this aggressive intensity. He delights when a man or a woman will not cease seeking until he finds the answer. But if the blessing still does not come, notice, we may move to that third level, even more intense than asking and seeking. Letter C, you see it there, page 21, to knock. Even more added persistence and fervency as you are continually pounding at the door. That's the picture Jesus is giving here, even a very intense form of asking and seeking. Seeking the Lord with great desire and determination and really even a desperation. Asking and seeking with a tremendous passion and persistence. You're banging at the door of grace. You're knocking at mercy's door as a lost traveler would knock in a cold night, you see. This believer's yearning and longing is growing more intense for that thing that they do not possess, that they stand in need of, and that thing which God has promised to provide. And brothers and sisters, this is the kind of prayer that overcomes the great obstacles of life. This is the kind of prayer that overcomes the closed doors of circumstances. This is the kind of prayer that overcomes the mountains of opposition. This is the kind of prayer that receives God's promises, embraces those promises, and seeks the Lord and knocks until He prevails in God's promises. This is the effectual, fervent prayer that avails much. This is the kind of shameless persistence and steadfast boldness that the Lord Jesus was illustrating in that story last night. And you remember what He said there at the end of that passage, at the top of page 21, He speaks to us and He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" A faithful father would not play tricks on a needy child. A faithful father, even sinful fathers like you and I, we have enough wisdom to give our children the food that would nourish them and not poison them. So how much infinitely greater is our Heavenly Father's provision for His children? You see, His love is not contaminated with any iniquity. His love is not contaminated with any ignorance. And He always gives exactly what is needed, doesn't He? The problem is, notice number 10, the problem is that God's children often make the mistake of thinking that the stones are bread, the serpents are fish, and the scorpions are eggs. The problem is that sometimes we're praying for something that God knows would be harmful to us. So sometimes God has to deny our petitions so that He will not give us something that might be dangerous or harm us in the long run. But I want to tell you tonight, it is the nature of my Father to hear and answer the petitions of His children. Amen? Psalms 65 verse 2 says, "Oh," speaking to the Father, says, "Oh, you who hear prayer." Proverbs 15:8 says, "The prayer of the upright is his delight." Isaiah 62:7-8, "You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest." God allows his children to wrestle with him and be persistent with him until that wrestling gets a blessing. Notice number 11. Sometimes God manifests his character by answering our prayer immediately, doesn't he? And Isaiah 65:24, the scripture says, you see it there, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." And in that beautiful chapter on prayer in Luke 18, verse 7 and 8, listen to the Lord Jesus. He says, "And shall not God avenge His own elect, who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them?" And notice verse 8, "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily." But we have to understand something there. God is the great I Am. He lives above time. I live in time. 10,000 years ago, He says, "I Am." Today, He says, "I Am." 10,000 years from now, He'll say, "I Am." You see, He's living above time, and He is amazingly long-suffering and patient. And what seems like a long time to us is nothing to Him. Amen? "But beloved," He says, "do not forget this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, as 1,000 years as a day." Sometimes God chooses to delay the answer in what seems like a long time to us from our viewpoint. But to Him, it's nothing. Notice number 12. When God chooses to delay His answer, it is always for your good. If you're seeking the Lord, if you're asking and seeking and knocking at the door of grace, and there seems to be a great delay, the delay is never because God does not desire to answer you. The delay is never because God doesn't delight to answer you. The delay is because of God's superior wisdom and God's perfect timing. God delays the answer because He knows when the best time of the answer, when it needs to take place, you see. And He knows a later time may be better in this particular situation. It may be possibly that you'll be prepared to receive the answer in a better way later. But I want to say to you tonight, if the answer's delayed, we need to keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. If it isn't within the parameters of the will of God, continue to pray fervently and persistently. And brothers and sisters, continuing to place our lives in the presence of God in persevering prayer makes us more aware of our total dependence on the Lord. It makes us more aware of our need to place our complete confidence in the Lord. And it makes us more grateful when the answer finally arrives. So as I challenge you this week in prayer, I want to challenge you that if there's something going on in your life that you've been praying for a long time and you haven't seen the answer, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Amen? Keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. That moves us to page 22. This is where I hoped I'd begin tonight. You see how far behind I am, but that's okay. We come to now what I'm calling the various types of effective prayer. Where do you get that, Brother Ed? Look at the verse again. You see it. Praying always. That's that persevering in prayer. We saw pray in the Spirit, but notice praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, before we begin to look at the various types of effective prayer, allow me to encourage you with this precious truth from Proverbs 15:8. Notice it, number one. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright, those who've been justified, those who've been made right with God, the prayer of the upright is His delight. How could we as sinners come into the presence of a perfectly holy God and possibly do anything in which He would delight? Even though we're born again, we struggle with sin and we stumble into sin and we know that God is revolted by sin and He despises sin. How could we possibly do anything in which He would delight? How could we do anything that would please the Lord? Well, brothers and sisters, God is pleased with one thing that you and I have to offer to Him. And that is the personal realization and declaration of your absolute dependence on Him. Your diligent seeking of Him and your complete confidence in Him. This is what delights the Lord. When you place your absolute dependence on Him so that you give of yourself in a diligent seeking of Him and place your complete confidence in Him, He is delighted. He is pleased. Number two, the greatest expression of our total dependence on the Lord is our believing prayer. God is delighted, God is pleased, God is magnified when we acknowledge our total dependence on Him so that we accept His absolute sufficiency and place our complete dependence on Him and our complete confidence in Him. Listen to the Word of God in Psalms 147, verses 10 and 11. Speaking of God, He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure, listen, in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. The Lord delights, the Lord takes pleasure in those who place their absolute dependence on Him, and they give a diligent seeking of Him, and they place their complete confidence in Him. Why does He delight in that? Because God delights in meeting needs more than in making demands. Did you hear that? God delights in meeting needs more than in making demands. Notice number three. Effective prayer is that majestic transaction in which the wealth of the glory of God's provision is magnified and the needs of God's people are satisfied. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing too large to pray about, and there's nothing too small to pray about. We need to bring our lives and our needs and our struggles and our desires before the Lord in believing prayer so that we might find His wisdom and direction, so that we might follow behind Him as He directs our paths. Listen to Psalms 4 and verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Was it your trust in the Lord? Manifest an absolute dependence on Him. Manifest a diligent seeking of Him. Manifest a complete confidence in Him. That's exactly what Hebrews 11 is saying when it says, without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We can please our God. We can delight our God by drawing near in prayer to the throne of grace and by believing God is who He says He is and that God will reward us if we will diligently seek Him. Notice number four. Effective prayer includes much more than merely making our requests known unto God. In this little phrase which Paul uses, all prayer and supplication, he's reminding us that there are many different types of prayer and that we are to be instructed in all of the aspects of prayer. Our daily time with the Lord in Bible study and prayer is to be flowing out of our intimate personal love relationship with Him. So that prayer time with the Lord should certainly contain an element of variety. We're not like the heathens involved in meaningless repetition. We're not involved in some ritualistic religion where we're just repeating memorized prayers. We have a living, intimate, personal love relationship that is genuine and growing and enlarging. And if you're going to pray in the Spirit, as we spoke about last night, by the Spirit, by His power and wisdom, then we should allow the Holy Spirit to direct each time of prayer. But notice also this important truth. Number five, there are genuine patterns in our prayer that are biblical and can serve us as basic guidelines for effective prayer. When Paul says all prayer and supplication, he's saying to us there are a variety of basic elements that should be involved in our prayer relationship with the Lord. And this variety of elements should be present and active in our prayer life if we're going to pray effectively for the glory of God. So let's now begin to examine each area of our prayer life as we think about a biblical pattern for effective prayer. And I'm not calling you to some specific order. I'm just describing to you in these next few sessions what is absolutely already apparent and obvious the different areas of prayer we're to be involved in. First of all, this is quite obvious, Roman numeral 1, thanksgiving and praise. I remind you of this familiar verse, Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving." The Bible says, "In everything, give thanks." The Scriptures say it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Unless we spend time in prayer expressing our gratitude for the mercies we've already received, unless we give thanks for God's continued blessings in our life, how can we expect Him to listen to our prayers and give us answers to prayer? Notice number one, every time that we come to God, we need to come with a sincere attitude of praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and worship. You do realize that God is not obligated to give you anything but justice. You do know that's all you deserved was justice. A person either gets justice or mercy from God. Nobody ever gets injustice from God. You either get justice, just what you deserve, or you get the mercy of God. And if you've received anything by except eternal torment in the lake of fire, you ought to be absolutely overflowing with thanksgiving and gratitude tonight. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercies. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. I was once spiritually dead, walking according to the course of this world, under the command of Satan, and I didn't even know it, conducting my life according to my own fleshly desires. But Ephesians 2 and verse 4 says, "But God, who was rich in mercy." I'll tell you, friends, just those verses alone ought to fill our hearts with gratitude and thanksgiving to our God. Amen? Listen to how God's mercies tie together with the psalmist's cry of prayer. Notice number 2 there. "For You, O God, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon You. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication." Everything that we have, even the next breath we take, is a gift from God. And when we think about our salvation from all eternity past to all eternity future, our hearts ought to be overflowing with an attitude of gratitude. When we think about our families and all of our daily needs being met far beyond what most people ever experience in this world, when we think about God's unspeakable love that invites us to enter into the holiest in confidence, in prayer, when we think about the fact that we can come to the Lord of the universe and know that He hears us and have the assurance that He looks down on us and He will hear and bless us, our hearts ought to be overflowing with thanksgiving and praise. We ought to be entering into prayer through praising God for who He is and thanking God for all He's done. I'll tell you, too many people's prayer life just consists of a list of bringing their own desires, their own want-tos to God, and they just rush through that list, you see, so they can get to all their needs and desires, when this is the very opposite of what God says the priority of our prayer life ought to be. Notice number 3. More than anything, God desires your sincere thanksgiving to Him, your genuine praise of Him, and your authentic worship of Him. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful to Him and bless His name. We should be entering into the prayers of thanksgiving, thanking Him for all of His mercies, thanking Him for all of the blessings of His grace. We should enter into prayer, offering the sacrifice of praise to our God. Will you say, Brother Ed, sometimes my heart doesn't feel like praising God. Sometimes my heart seems cold and distant. No wonder the psalmist said, "Revive your people, O Lord, that they might rejoice in what? In who?" He says, "In you." We need to ask the Lord to revive us in our delight in Him, in our rejoicing in Him. Confess that coldness and that distance and begin to praise God, reminding yourself of who He is. Begin to thank God, reminding yourself of all He has done for you. By faith, honor the Lord, you see, with thanksgiving and praise. By faith, draw your soul near to Him. By faith, dwell on His glorious grace that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, think about the Holy Spirit who's been given to you so that you can cry, "Abba, Father." By faith, remember that the Holy Spirit has been given to you to help you with all those infirmities in prayer. By faith, begin that time of prayer with an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. Notice number 4. Therefore, by Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Psalms 50 verse 14 says, "Offer to God thanksgiving." Psalms 92:1, I said it earlier, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Psalms 106 and verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." And of course, we can thank Him for that greatest gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift in the Lord Jesus Christ." We can thank Him for the victory that we have in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ." We can thank God for the nearness of His presence in our lives. Psalms 75:1, "We give thanks, O God. We give thanks for Your wondrous works. Declare that Your name is near." What are you saying to us, Brother Ed? Notice this, number 5. Nothing builds your faith and prepares you to pray like praising God for who He is and thanking God for all the answered prayer in your life in ministry. Oh, how we need to pause and meditate on how God has personally revealed Himself in His character and characteristics to us. When we go into prayer, oh, how we need to pause and meditate on what those characteristics mean to us personally. Not just quoting them, but reflecting on what God means to us personally. In Genesis, He's the Almighty God. In James, He's the Father of lights. In 2 Samuel 22, He is our mighty fortress. In Isaiah 9, He's the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God in us, with us. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Bread of Life. He is the Light of the world. What am I saying? Notice number 6. When you take time to meditate on who God is and all He has done for us, what happens? Thanksgiving and praise becomes the natural and spontaneous. Thanksgiving and praise becomes natural and spontaneous. And you'll follow these simple suggestions, you'll often find yourself being consumed with praise and thanksgiving and worship to God. You'll find yourself spending precious time doing what you were created to do. Magnify Jesus. Praise Him. Exalt Him. Worship Him. And you'll find that you will be overcome with wonder, love, and praise. And it is amazing how this will affect the level of intimacy in a born-again child of God's life. Because when you ask God to teach you in a greater way to thank Him, to praise Him, and worship Him, you're asking God to do something that is very close to His heart. And this attitude of gratitude, this is a choice that we make, isn't it? I'll tell you, for the last 3 years since I came down with Guillain-Barré syndrome, I wake up every morning to nerve pain, sometimes only in my feet and hands, sometimes all over my body. It's like somebody just put an iron up to my feet or hands. That's what wakes me up every morning. I don't feel like praising Him and thanking Him. But our feelings have nothing to do with it, do they? It's based on a choice to rejoice. I love that little chorus somebody used to sing called, "It's Amazing What Praising Can Do." Our feelings fluctuate, don't they? But we need to choose to praise Him and thank Him in every situation. And have you found this to be true, number 7? We'll break in just a moment. As we think about thanksgiving and praise to God, have you found this to be true, number 7? The most profound worship in your life may occur at the times of your greatest trials. You could put greatest adversities. When you walk through the valley of adversity and you respond with a heart of thanksgiving and praise and worship, oh, then you're offering God the sacrifice of praise. Think about Job. He had just lost all of his possessions. Then he hears the news that his 10 children have been killed. And what does the Bible say? Job tore his robe, shaved his head. He fell to the ground and what? He worshipped. He worshipped. He praised and thanked God in the middle of the greatest storm of his life. Notice letter A, when we demonstrate an attitude of praise and thanksgiving in the middle of the great adversity, this is a tremendous testimony to lost people. James chapter 1 says, "Listen, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." He says, the next time you find yourself in the middle of a valley of adversity, adopt an attitude of joy, knowing that God is not working against you in that storm. He's working for you, isn't He? That's what He says. He's working how many things together for good? All things together for good. And what's the good? To conform us into the image of His Son. So the next time you're in a storm, adopt an attitude of joy. Realize God is not working against you. He's working for you. And you submit yourself to God's refining work in that storm, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing perseverance, you see. So let perseverance have its perfect work in you. Adopt an attitude of joy, knowing God's working for you. He's working in that. Submit to Him and seek Him for wisdom in that storm. Wisdom to find the nearest exit out of the storm? No. seek Him for wisdom to walk through that valley of adversity in a way that would be pleasing to Him. I'll tell you, somebody walking through a storm like that, a born-again child of God, that is a tremendous testimony to lost people. Anybody can be thankful and joyful when things are going well. Lost person could do that. Oh, but it's not a natural human response to rejoice in the middle of a storm. That's a supernatural response. And then what's happening? The validity of that believer's faith is being put on display. The quality of their faith is being put on display. And this is a powerful testimony to a lost and dying world. Notice number 8. We'll break in just a moment. Number 8, thanksgiving and praise prepares your heart for effective and dynamic prayer. What does God say there? You see it at the bottom of page 24, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'll tell you, somebody adopts that attitude of thanksgiving and praise, it'll absolutely revolutionize their prayer life. You did notice Paul said, he did not say, for everything give thanks. He said, in everything give thanks. We can have an attitude of gratitude in every circumstance and situation in life. That's what Paul is saying. In times of prosperity, you need to have an attitude of gratitude. In times of adversity, you need to have an attitude of gratefulness and thanksgiving. For this attitude of gratefulness and thanksgiving expresses your faith, listen, that God is in sovereign control. That's when the sovereignty of God gets real practical and personal. It's one thing to have all that head knowledge about the sovereignty of God in your brain. It's another thing to live it out when you're walking through a dark valley of adversity. He says, listen, in times of prosperity, you need to be grateful to the Lord in prayer. In times of adversity, you need to be grateful to the Lord in prayer. This attitude is expressing your faith that God is in sovereign control and He is working all things together for good, even this thing. This is why we can and must have this expression of thanksgiving and praise in our prayer life, friends, because the will of God for your life is that thanks be given to God in every circumstance, every situation of life. For this is part of God's good and acceptable and perfect will for your life. Notice the bottom of the page, number 9, this attitude of gratitude in your prayer is well-pleasing in the sight of God. If we complained less and praised God more, we'd be a happier people. If we murmured less and thanked Him more, He'd be more glorified in our life. If we complained less and rejoiced more in Him, our lives would be a stronger witness to a lost and dying world. I'm saying our lives, your life and my life, needs to be a continual song of thanksgiving. We're partakers of the great salvation that is in Jesus. We have peace with God. We have peace with our past. We have peace with our future. We have a Savior that is perfectly precious and absolutely satisfying. For these reasons and a million more, we should say with the psalmist, I will bless the Lord at how many times? At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, let's take a 5-minute break. and we'll come right back. Pastor Greg, you need to say anything or do anything?